All right, little ones, y'all come on, y'all come on. So I tell you, something sweet will always draw, right? All right, so I think the Proverbs say that sweetness upon the lips increases learning. Sweetness upon the lips. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for another day, for another opportunity, for another time that we get to gather, that we can praise you, that we can celebrate you. We thank you for these little ones. We ask your favor and your blessings and your time, and Lord, to be manifested today in their little lives. Use each of their teachers. Use us in here. We pray that you speak to us, and we're going to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Y'all have a good time. We'll praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't he good? He is good all the time. All right, Davin, I think I'm turned on, brother. You got me? All right. Good to go. Well, it is good to be back. I tell you, it is good to be back. I sure appreciate Brandon and Greg and Keith and Brother Shannon and everybody else that stepped up and helped out and filled in the gap and done what they done. Miss Janet and the ladies working with the little ones in the back. We are family, and families function together, right? Everybody helps out. Y'all remember when you was at the house, when you was a kid, everybody had their part and their role of jumping in there and getting to do something, and when one was gone, somebody else had to fill in the shoes, right? And step in there. So that's what families do. We give to God the glory for that. We know we can't always be at the dinner table at the same time, every single time we gather. But I always want to know what's going on when I'm not there. Amen. You know, when I was gone with the Navy, because I spent right at 10 years, nearly 10 years, not 10, but close to it. And when I was gone, Stephanie kept me up with what was happening with the girls. She wrote me letters regularly. She videoed for me and sent me videos. I can remember getting those and couldn't wait to sit down and look at them and watch the girls growing and seeing their progress. And they sent me stuff on a regular basis that they were doing, and she would tell me what they were eating and where they were going and what they were doing. I mean, when you're gone for that long a period of time, that's pretty tough, and I was gone quite a bit through those years. So I wanted to know what they were doing. I wanted to know where they were going. I couldn't talk to her every day. Back in those days, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have email. There was no way to FaceTime. The only time you knew what was happening is if you could make a phone call or receive a letter from them, or care package or something like that. And of course, I tried to keep up with what I was doing and what was happening and that type of thing. Because that's what husbands, that's what wives, that's what children, that's what family does. Amen. And I've told y'all this before, that it's not that we can always be with each other and that we could always gather with one another. We recognize that. Things happen. People go here, go there, got other mission work to do and get done. But what is concerning is, more than anything, and I try to share this with other places we go, is that sometimes the people that don't regularly gather are really not concerned what happened when they wasn't there, or what took place, or what was taught, or who was there and who wasn't there, what was going on, how everybody was doing. That's the concern when there is no concern. Amen? That's what you really have to be concerned about, because a family always wants to know what's happening with the family when they're not around. Amen. Especially when you love that family. Amen? So, and we love y'all, and I appreciate y'all setting this up. The TV and the technology of today, and us being able to do a live service with y'all. And I couldn't see as many in the back just because of the distance. I could see you. I couldn't really pick up exactly who all was here. Now, I could see Brother Shannon, Miss Pat, and everybody that was fairly closer. I knew where y'all sat, though. So so every once in a while, it's okay if you sit in another spot. Amen. But I could tell who was there about where you were sitting, but I couldn't see everybody. And do we have any guests that was here last week that wasn't normally here? Nobody?
Helen.
I remember seeing Miss Helen here. I do. But wasn't sure exactly, because I couldn't tell. I knew you and Danny were here, but I couldn't tell who was with y'all, and I couldn't tell who was all on the back row. I could see Sandy's hair profile, and I knew they were back there, but I couldn't tell. Karen, was you sitting back there in the back? You was over there. Who? Somebody was sitting on the corner right there. Okay. I could see them, but somebody was sitting on that back row that was on that corner. That was you at first, Karen?
At first.
Okay. And you got up, moved? I got you. So I'm trying to figure, y'all, who's who, because, you know, when I teach, I try to pay attention to everybody and look at everybody at some point or a few times, and eyeball to eyeball. And also, that's how I remember. When I go back going through these messages and I'm editing them to share them, when I hear myself teaching on something, I'm seeing your face when I'm teaching on it, who I was looking at the time. That's how I could visualize each of you when I'm listening over who I was actually looking at or who I was thinking on at that time when I was sharing that. But I appreciate it. I'm glad we was able to do it, and I pray it was as much as a blessing to you as it was for me. Thank you for praying for Lauren and for Marigold and for Blake and Holden and Daisy. They're adjusting really well. They're doing good. I know it's going to be tough on them, especially come Monday when Blake goes back to work. He was fortunately off on Friday, and he will have to go back to school on Monday. So I know it's going to be challenging with her, because little Marigold, y'all know little ones like to be up at night. And from about 10 o'clock to about 2:30, she's in her prime. And she's feeding every little bit. And so it's taken quite a bit of energy and life for Lauren to do it. And of course, while we were there, we took care of the other two. And Tommy, these other two get up at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. They're not your regular run-of-the-mill kids that are asleep in. Look, I woke up Saturday morning over here thinking I heard Pawpaw. Because they are hollering for Pawpaw at 5:30 every single morning that we're there. And, so I go in and we go get them, and Steph and I go down and we start the day with them. And when they are up, they are wide open. So Lauren's going to get a big taste of it again on Monday with being up most of the night and then having these two wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be ready for the day. Now, everybody ought to be up by 5, huh? Tommy and Keith and Pam and Sandy and Davin, that's their normal mornings. I mean, they eating lunch at 5, right? So 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30. Who else gets up that early? Karen, 5 o'clock. We got a few that get up. Mark, what time you get up? 9?
10
o'clock. There you go. There you go. That's like Kurt Jr. Kurt Jr. Was telling me his shutdown window for everybody is from 10 to 10. So he goes to bed or closes it out about 10, but he's off limits to about 10 in the morning. So, or 11, Keith said. Yeah. He told me his best sleep is between 7 and 10 in the morning. So, I guess that's the retired life, right? Tommy, you're retired, aren't you?
Partially.
Deborah, you're partially retired too, right? Who else is fully retired in here? Oh, we got a couple back there. We got a couple right here. Carolyn said she's retired too. Yeah.
But I'm still up at 5.
Still up? Yeah.
We don't feel like
we're up at 5 o'clock. Well, thank the Lord his mercies are new what?
Every morning.
Whether you get up at 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10, whenever you rise, his mercies are fresh and new. Amen? And that's a rich blessing. Some people work nights, so they don't, their actual wake up time may be 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening. Guess what? His mercies are what?
New.
Every time you wake up. And that's why it's always best, I believe it's best, that would be the best time to seek the Lord too. Whatever time that is, whatever time of the day you get up, make that be the priority that you pursue the Lord and seek Him and hear from Him and walk with Him. I was thinking about, I do a lot of thinking when I'm driving, and my mind's always working and thinking about things and things to teach. Matter of fact, I was going through Houston when I thought about this Zoom opportunity. I got to thinking, you know, we can Zoom, but I don't want to have to Zoom everybody because maybe not everybody would bring their phone, and we wouldn't want to do a whole church-wide Zoom. And I said, you know what? We might be able to Zoom to a TV. So I know we got a TV in there, so I started looking it up. And sure enough, you could mirror it over to a TV. So this was on Thursday, and I got up with Brandon, I guess, on Friday evening. And he said, we'll try it. So come Saturday, we set it up. They set it up and then tried to do a run-through with it. And praise God, it worked. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, it worked. And now we know we have that option in the future as well. But also, I was thinking on the ride, you know, we've been with y'all now in October, makes 15 years of seeking and searching the Lord. Pretty much consistently from the later part of October into November time of 15 years ago, we started being with y'all pretty much week in and week out. And it's been a great blessing for Stephen and I. Y'all are our family. You are our home. We love to be with you, always do. And as I was coming home, I was just thinking about different truths we talked about and talked through. And, you know, we've covered every passage in the Scripture through those 15 years, and many of them multiple times. But there's not probably a single story or passage of Scripture that we haven't dealt with over the last 15 years. You know, if you've been consistently here those 15 years from service to service to service, we probably have covered just about every inch of this Word. And we still ain't got to the bottom of it. Amen?
Amen.
But there's probably not a story or a particular character or any of those things written through the Bible over the last 15 years that we hadn't touched on. And if we didn't touch on it, we read about it.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it here and there. So, I mean, we've covered so many great and wonderful things. And as Jesus is reminding us in the Gospel of John, He says, you know, all of it was written, and it was all written about Me. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He says that, right? Look in John 5. Look in John 5. It's written of Me. No matter where we've been, no matter how we've looked at it or walked through it through the years, when you are in this great message, which is unlike any other message ever given, it is a reminder that, hey, everything is about Jesus. Everything. Because He brings out the fact that, look in John 5 and verse number 37. I'll just start. We'll jump in there. We always want to be accurate no matter where we're at and what we're doing. And to do that, we always want to take things within the setting that it is given to us. And what Jesus is doing in this setting is that He's teaching a group of people that life is in Him and that He grants life, that He gives life to the dead. And not only to the living dead, because that's where He started this at, the living dead, those who are living, but they're still dead. They're living, but they're dead in their sins. They're dead to God. And He says that He was going to do something to transform them from within so that they were no longer dead to God, but they were made alive to Him. And He said that He didn't want them to marvel at that wonder, because it is a wonder. He said there's coming a day that He's going to raise both the dead and the living. And that is, there's going to be a resurrection one day. And that resurrection is planned for all of us. Now, we've talked about that even as of recent, because that's a message that we want to share with people. That no matter who you're talking to, you can tell them God has a plan for them.
Yeah.
And that plan is to raise them from the dead. And if they don't know Him when that time comes, meaning if they don't ever give their life to Him before they die, they'll never live when they die, but they're going to be raised and then separated from Him for all eternity. So it is best to give their life to Jesus while they still breathe this air. Amen. There's no need to delay. You do it as soon as that is revealed to you. But He says this. He says, verse number 37, "And the Father Himself who sent Me has testified of Me. You have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form." Now, if you've heard Jesus, you've heard the Father.
Amen.
If you see Jesus, you see the Father. So He's talking to a group of people that still don't know who they're talking to. Are you with me? This is the idea. Verse 38, "But you do not have His Word..." This living, this life of the Word, this giving of life abiding in you, "because whom He sent, Him you do not" what?
Believe.
You what? You search. What do they search? The Scriptures. Now, at that time, what Scriptures was He referring to? The Older Testament. Because that's all they had at that time, right?
Yeah.
Just simply the Older Testament. "For you search the Older Testament, for in the Older Testament you think you have eternal life, and these," the Older Testament, "are they which testify of" who?
Me.
"Of Me." So if you had the Bible but you don't have Jesus, what you understand about the Bible has no life in it, because life is in who?
Jesus.
And then He gives life to the Word. Now, how did they think they had salvation in the Scriptures? What does He mean there? Because we want to know the Scriptures, and all God's people said.
Mm-hmm.
We want to trust what the Scriptures say, and we believe there's life in the Scriptures, but what is He meaning that you search the Scripture and you believe in them, you have eternal life? He's referring to the fact that they were descendants of who?
Abraham.
And in their way of thinking, because they were direct descendants in the lineage of Abraham, that is what qualified them to have eternal life. And Jesus has already taught in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Him, eternal life comes to a man when that man is what? Born
again.
You have to be born again. The birth through lineage doesn't qualify us for eternal life. Eternal life is actually, in John 17 verse 3, He's going to tell us, eternal life is knowing God and the One whom He sent. Knowing the Father and knowing the Son in an intimate, personal way. Now, we can't know Him outside of God doing what? Giving us life. Because remember, we were dead to that. We can't see that until God does something in us, because by lineage, by our DNA, what was passed on to all of us was blinders. There's a veil over humanity's heart and eyes and ears. The Scriptures refer to, Karen, that we have to have circumcised ears, circumcised eyes, and circumcised heart. That is, there was something that hindered our hearing, hindered our seeing, and hindered our understanding, our perception. God's got to take that impeding hindrance off of our ear, our eyes, and our heart, so that we can hear Him, see Him, and put our trust in Him. And that is something God's got to do. Well, they thought they had life because they were in the line of Abraham. But that's not the case. As a matter of fact, we're going to read a passage in a moment that's going to refer to, as Romans 9 would say, just because they are Israel in the flesh doesn't mean they're children of God. There's a difference between being born a Jew and being born again from above by the Spirit of God for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. There's an eternal world of difference. Amen? So, He says this. He says that the Word was all about a witness or evidence of Him. Verse 40. "But you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life." Why would they not come to Jesus? Now, John's already told us. Why would they not come to Jesus? They're blind. And because they're blind, what did they love? They love that which was dark. What they could see. What could they see? They could only see that which they wanted to see. And they love that darkness. John 3 said that. That the light entered the world, but men wouldn't come to the light because they love their darkness. They wouldn't come to Jesus. And John has been telling us again and again, Jesus said that if you see me, who do you see?
Father.
If you hear me, who do you hear?
Father.
If you watch me, who are you watching?
Father.
Okay. That's extremely fundamental for us to recognize, because Jesus is saying that He's God. Matter of fact, that's why they killed Him, right?
Yeah.
They said He was blaspheming to say that He made Himself equal with God. That He was the Son of God, that He was God, that He was equal with God. And they said He was simply a man. And therefore, no matter what Jesus did, no matter what He did, they did not like it.
Yeah.
Even though they couldn't deny the things that He did. We mentioned this a little earlier with the men. Have you ever noticed when somebody hates somebody, no matter what that somebody does, good or bad, those that hate them don't like anything they do?
Come on.
I mean, they can do some good, but they're not going to validate the good they do because they're so caught up with hatred toward the person that it doesn't matter what benefit they are, all they're going to do is what? Shoot them down.
Yeah.
They can't deny what they did, but they don't value what they did because they hate the person. And that's where Jesus, y'all remember in the last couple of days of your reading, He keeps telling them, like in John 10 and in John 12, He's going to say it more in John 15. He's going to say, you may not believe what I tell you, but believe because of the work's sake. What you've seen, the work that you've seen done, validates who I am and who I belong to, but for the work that you've seen done. That is, you've seen dead people come to life. You've seen blind people receive sight. You've seen lame people stand up and walk. Those are undeniable works that the Father has done and done in me and through me. He said, believe what you've seen, but they couldn't believe what they've seen because they had so much hatred toward Him.
Amen.
So much hatred toward Him. It's kind of like even today, no matter what, there's some people in politics, for an example, that may do some good, but because they're so disliked, no matter what they do is tainted. Are you with me?
Come on.
There's preachers, because they're disliked, no matter what they do is tainted. Everything Jesus did in their eyes was tainted. Everything. Why? They hated Him, Keith. And that was evident that there's no way they could what? Belong to Him. Because if you belong to Him, you belong to the Father. And when you belong to the Father, you trust the Son. Because the Son and the Father are what? Inseparable. You can't separate them. They're one and of the same. And that's what He's telling them here. Verse 20. But you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. That's important. But I know you that you do not have what? The love of God in you. If it was in you, what would be the difference? If God's love was in them, who would they love?
Jesus.
They would love Jesus. Look over in John 8. Look in John 8. Look in verse number, we were talking about this a moment ago, but man, this speaks to me. Look in verse number 13, John 8:13. The Pharisees therefore said to Him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is what?
Not true.
Man, any legitimate believer could never and would never say that about Jesus.
Amen.
Couldn't do it. Why? He is the true witness. Amen?
Amen?
Everything He said, Josh, is true. Everything He did is truth. And if anybody did it He did it better than anybody. Amen. Why? Because it's a heart thing. It's kind of like, for an example, we just talked about when you distrust or dislike somebody, everything they do is what? Tainted and corrupted. But when you love somebody, what is that old song? When a man loves
a woman,
even when she does wrong, it's not viewed as what? Wrong. Why? Because of love for the person. We talked about that a while back when a spouse calls you on the phone and you know their spirit just by the tone of their voice. Why? Because you've been in intimate connection with them. You know them. You love them. You care for them. So you pay attention to them.
Amen.
And when you love somebody the way that God pours out His love in our heart for Jesus, Jesus can do no wrong. Amen. Even when you can't explain Him, Pam, and what He does or why He does what He does, He can do no wrong. Not only in our eyes, but according to the truth, He can do no wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Because everything He does is right, therefore we trust Him and believe Him. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, even if he did, He's going to tell us, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from and you do not know what?
Where
did He come from? He came from above. He came from the Father. Where is He going? He's going back to Him. See, but if you don't know that, boo, you can't recognize that, you're not going to put your trust in Him, right? And you're going to say things, for an example, that your witness is not true. So He goes on to say this, verse 15. He says, you judge according to the flesh. And then He says, I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is what?
True.
So His witness is true and His judgment would be true. For I am not alone, for I am with the Father who what? Sent me. We're in oneness. We're in agreement together. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is what?
True.
I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So you've got two witnesses that are what?
True.
Okay. Verse 19. Then they said to Him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father also. If you can't recognize my Father in me, you can't recognize me. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not come. Verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And the implication is, Deborah, you can never come. Where I'm going, you can never come, because you're not from where I came from. And then He's going to explain it. So the Jews said, will He what? What are they doing right there, Karen? They're mocking Him. Because the idea is He says, you can never go where I'm going. So they're saying, well, the only place He could ever go that we wouldn't go would be suicide. Kill Himself. We would never dread in that place. We would never go there. It just shows you their thinking is now they mocking what He is teaching them. And then He says this, because you say, where I go, you cannot come. Verse 23, and He said to them, you are from where?
Beneath.
And I am from
above.
You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am who? You will die in your sin. Now that right there is something that I would encourage you to ponder on and think on. I don't want to just walk past this and not examine it of what He's saying there. Because that means a whole lot. If Jesus says, If, let's do it one more time. Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins, and that means you perish. That means you die lost. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved that He what?
Gave.
That's the evidence of His love. He gave. That God so loved the world that He gave His only one of a kind unique Son, that whosoever what?
Believeth.
You see, the coming and the giving of Jesus is a demonstration of the love of God. But it's not that love of that demonstration that's going to save everybody. Listen to what He said there. He didn't say that His love is what's going to save the world. He says that in His love, He gave a grace gift. You remember, salvation is by what?
Grace.
Grace. There had to be, Brother Shannon, a substitute that lived a life that you and I could never live.
Amen.
That died a death that none of us could ever die. That rose from a grave so that we could die to Him, trust Him with our life, and that the life that He lived, now He can live within us because we could never live it apart from Him. But He says that not, let's read it like this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that everybody would not perish. Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say? Those that what?
Believe.
You see, when you believe the testimony of Jesus. You believe the love of God. But to push back at Jesus and say that His testimony is not true is a rejection of God's love and our need for a substitute. Our need for a sacrifice. That God sacrificed Himself on our behalf. So listen to what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him shall not what?
Perish.
But have everlasting life. So the blanket statement that God loves, and that's all I need to know, won't get me anywhere with Jesus. I've got to put my confidence and trust in Jesus, believe His testimony, believe His witness, believe His message, which is a demonstration of the Father's love for those that would perish without Him. And I trust Him because salvation is by grace. And remember, the life that Jesus lived was a life lived by the grace of God. His life is a testament to the grace of God. He lived by grace. He tasted death by the grace of God on our behalf. So that grace then applies everything that God has for us, and Christ applies it to our life when we trust Him, when we put our faith in Him. So He says here that if we don't believe that He is He, we'll die in our sin. We'll perish. So what let's just think about that for a moment, where He says that. Verse 24, therefore I said to you that He will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. That I am He. That I am your hope. That I am your God. That I am your answer. That I am your solution. That I am your all. That I am your everything. And notice that without believing that, what do men and women do today? They perish. If Jesus is not everything, He's nothing to us. And that's what He was getting at with the people in that day, is that these Pharisees and these crowds that He was talking to that didn't trust Him and believe Him, He says, you don't see Me as everything. And if you don't see Me as He, everything, you'll die without Me.
Amen.
And you don't want to die without Him. Amen. You'll die in your sin because He came to what? Deal with sin. And how many of you need Him to deal with your sin? Lord have mercy. Isn't it a wonder that He would even deal with us in our sin?
Yes.
You see, but there's something that takes place. Read that one more time. He says, if you do not believe that I am He, that I am He, that I am He. Man. For an example, look over in Hebrews real quick. Look at Hebrews 11. Let's do this real quick before we go today. We'll come back and keep going with this tonight. Hebrews 11. Let's see this He. Verse number 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without what?
Faith.
Remember, faith cometh by?
Hearing.
So you hear the voice of God. You heed His command, what you heard. You honor Him in obedience, and then you live holding that forth. That's the idea of faith. So when I read that, I can say, but without hearing, heeding, honoring, and holding forth, it is impossible to please God. Now watch what he says. For the man or woman, boy or girl, that comes to God must believe that He is. Isn't that what Jesus just said?
Yeah.
He that doesn't believe that I am He will perish in their sins. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek. Can you see it?
Amen.
He said, he that doesn't come to Him believing that He is what? God. God. And if He's God, Tommy, you know what that means? I'm not. You're not. Deborah's not. Sandy's not. Josh is not. Karen's not. Karen's not, huh? Nobody is. There's only one room for God. Amen?
Amen?
And He says, he that comes to me must believe that I am He. I am He. I am He. Or they will what? Die in their sins. We know some people right now. This is where we want to apply this. This makes sense to us?
Come on.
Makes sense to me. This is where we want to put it to work. You know people right now that do not see Jesus as everything.
Come on.
Doesn't see Him as God. Doesn't come to Him as God. They still making choices for their own way of life. They still trusting whatever. Doesn't matter whatever it is. Whatever it is. But He's not everything. He's not all to them.
Amen.
I want you to write their name down somewhere.
Yes.
So that you can intercede for them. Amen.
Come on.
You can intercede for them. You can pray for them. And pray God to send somebody in the right way, in the right time, in God's timing. Because we trust in God with this. Amen.
Amen.
Can they save themselves?
No.
Can a person save them?
No.
Who's the only one can save them? That's right. So who are we going to ask to do what only He can do? The one who is He. Amen. God. As He's been telling them, hey, the reason you're not believing me because you don't belong to me. Well, the reason they're not seeing Him as everything because they don't belong to Him. But that don't mean they won't belong to Him. Amen. It just hadn't been made known yet. Just like how in your life, you live for a portion of your life doing your thing, going your way. You had no idea. You had a claim on your life that Jesus shed His blood for your life, that He done claimed you and was going to send a messenger to you, that He was coming and was going to bring the good news to you. You didn't know that in those days. Just like the Apostle Paul, who was an enemy to the gospel, who tried to stuff it out and kill it. He didn't know that he was going to encounter Jesus one day. But see, that was out of His control. Amen.
Amen.
That was a God thing. Well, you know what? Every work of salvation is a God thing.
Yes.
It's impossible with man. So this is what I encourage you to do. Start giving them to Jesus.
Come on.
Start praying for them. Start in this service this morning. Right where you are. fresh on your mind that, hey, God, you got to do this. They'll never save themselves. No man, no woman, boy or girl, no relationship, nothing can ever substitute what only you can do. And we're going to bring them and put them on the altar before you and ask you to do what only you can do in your time. And we're going to trust that you will do what is right when it is right in their life. And we're going to entrust them to you. And we're going to wait on you. In the meantime, we're going to keep doing what you called us to do.
Come on.
And we're going to keep telling your story. And we're going to keep pleading with men to come. Because what he told them applies to Sandy as much as it does Nick. It applies to Brandon and Janet and Carolyn and Greg and Tommy and Stephanie as it does the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
They've got to believe that he is he. Amen. That he's everything. Man. Let's ask him today to do this work in other people's lives. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you for this time we've had around the table. You tell us that as our shepherd, as we see in John 10, you are the door. You're the door of the sheep. You're the good shepherd. You're the crucified shepherd. You're our chief shepherd who's coming for us. That everybody needs a shepherd to guide them through life. And you laid your life down to shepherd us. So Lord, we want that work to be done in those that we love and care for. But we know they can't save themselves. We know that only you can do this marvelous eternal work from above. So we're asking you today, and we want to be part of it. We want to be part of it. We want to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We want the full armor of God on us so that as we go forth sharing your work in our lives, your message in our lives, that we help others see what you are to us and that you're everything. We know we won't get everything right. We're gonna mess things up. But because you're our God, we cast our imperfections upon you and ask you to help us with it. So we bring these needs to you. Thank you for saving. Thank you for sanctifying and using us. And asking you now just to anoint us afresh with your work so that it'll be manifested that your presence is upon us to do what you've called us to do. So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
All these things you did. I see some